Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to him, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?"
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. From time to time, we all struggle with fear. And while we may not be immune from it, we can overcome it because we have a God who is walking with us through the fire that we face. Listen as Pastor Wayne teaches us about overcoming fear as we explore the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
And that leads us right into what we want to talk about today as we talk about outlasting our fears and overcoming them with three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But before we talk about fears, let me give you this funny story. The story is of a guy that's in a psychiatrist's office, and he says, "Doctor, I've got some fears, one major fear." And the doctor said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Every time I go to bed, I fear that someone is under my bed." And the psychiatrist says, "Well, I can cure you of that. Once a week, come and I'll counsel you, and over 10 months, you'll be cured of that fear of someone being under your bed." And he says, "Well, how much will that cost?" He said, "Well, about $100 a session." So he said, "Oh, wow, okay." And so he says, I'll think about it, and I'll see you later." Well, he doesn't come back for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and finally the doctor sees him in a grocery store, and he says, "Hey, you haven't come back to my office for your therapy." He said, "Well, doctor, I was thinking about it, and $100, $400 a month times 10 months, that's $4,000 that this would cost me. So instead, I went to my pastor. Then I said, 'Pastor, I have this fear of someone always being under my bed.' And the pastor helped me to get cured from that, and it cost me nothing." And the psychiatrist said, "Well, what kind of therapeutic counsel did he give you?" He said, "Well, my pastor said, if you're afraid of someone hiding under your bed, just cut the legs off your bed and you'll be fine." "I did. Cost me nothing. Now I don't have to worry anymore." Pastors have very practical advice. And the Bible is the same. The Bible has some very practical things that I think we need to hear today. Because each of us has hundreds of fears. In fact, there's scientific names for these fears that we suffer. I mean, people suffer from all kinds of fears. Some people will say, "Well, you know, I fear not getting married." Oh, others have a fear that they will get married. Fears are in the opposite. I mean, it's like crazy. Can we get over the fears? Yes, we can. Can we be immune? No. Why? Because you're human. It's not because you don't have faith. It's because God put us in humanity. And we have things in our emotions, our concerns, our psyche that we deal with all the time. See, we don't forget often that we're Christians. We forget that we're humans. And we wrestle with these things. But scientists have names for all of these fears, hundreds of them. Let me give you a little test. Are you ready? Here's one. It's called arachnophobia. That's what? Fear of? Spiders. All right, yes. How's about claustrophobia, fear of? Yeah, tight spaces. My kids suffer with this next one. It's called ergophobia. It's a fear of work. So all of them have gone through that, and none of them have been healed from it since. Yeah. Well, you'd think that these three young men would have xenophobia. Xenophobia is the fear of foreign places. It was in 586 BC that King Nebuchadnezzar came from the north, where Babylon or the Chaldeans would now rule this whole area of Israel all the way down towards Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar was a fierce warlord and came down and besieged Jerusalem, starting in 605 with three deportations, the last one in 586 BC. They would deport the best of the best from Jerusalem and take them to Babylon. and try to reinstitute them into a new identity. They would expel them from their homelands, take them to a foreign land that they'd never known before. They would actually give them new names. Of the many thousands that would be deported, four will take our attention: Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah. They would then change their names to Babylonian names: Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Very good. Abednego. Now, Daniel would keep his name Hebrew, because that's the Hebrew name, Daniel, but he was called Belteshazzar in Babylon. Our story today is going to focus on three of the four in Daniel chapter 3. They would have their faith sorely tested, to the point where it would be a life or death consequence. You see, in those days, in order to gain loyalty, fierce loyalty to the state, they would make the king a demigod, which means half God, half man. So your obedience was definitely required in their religion or their belief. One day, Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue of himself, 100 feet tall. So if you think of a 747 on its end, that's how big this statue was. It was made of pure gold. Now, in those days, Babylon was one of the richest cities in the world. If you recall the seven wonders of the world, one of the wonders is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Those of you that graduated from high school, you would know that. But the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, wealthy, wealthy city. Well, he, being a god or a demigod, would set the statue up and he'd say, when you hear the instruments and the horns blow, you are to bow down. Now think about it. These are Jewish people that were deported from Jerusalem. He's trying to destroy their faith. So upon the penalty of death, we'll put you in a fire and you will be crispy critters more than you'll be Jewish if you don't bow down. So the horns would blow and all of these capitulated. They all compromised. Except three: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God is about to meet them in a way that will blow your mind. They knew they were taking their life into their own hands. When they stood tall because they refused to bow down to this foreign god, one of the people in the city saw them. In fact, this guy's an astrologer, does horoscopes and stuff, and reads stars and does all kinds of things to do fortune telling. They saw what was going on, and they decided to report them to the king. Whistleblowers. You'll find that even in our nation, we'll start to have whistleblowers because they're going to try to cause us to bow down to the things that we will not do so. So I'm going to read you the story, and it's 21 verses, but I want you to follow along with me so you'll see the story on the screen. But let me read it for you. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your Majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp and pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you set over the affairs in the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, Your Majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to him, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us. He will deliver us from your hand, O Majesty. But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers of his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes and trousers and turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Now the king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied now, fell into the blazing furnace. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and said, hey, wait a minute. Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, Your Majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps and prefects and governors and royal advisors crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, OMG. I don't know, maybe it's in here. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, watch how he changes his tune. I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. Can you say amen and amen and amen? I looked at that and I thought, man, this story reads like an adventure from Marvel Comics. The action heroes. But they're not action heroes, they're divine mentors who are exampling faith in faithless times. And before they were heroes, they were human. You think they had fear that they had to wrestle with? Absolutely. Fear is common to us all, but remember, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is pressing on in spite of fear. It's prioritizing God's commands over our emotional fears. We all experience fear. I mean, waiting for a medical diagnosis, thinking it's cancer, and you're going to have to wrestle with stuff. Or your credit card debt is sky high, and now you're facing a formidable financial setback, and you begin to perspire. You're failing courses at a college, and time is short. Or you can't repair a broken relationship that you so desperately want to repair. We all struggle with fear, and the consequences of fear are endless. I mean, anxiety overtakes you, and just when you need to have clear thinking and clean, decisive action, you're frozen and polarized. But regardless of the fear, I want you to know that the Bible has answers. Every fear that you'll ever go through will have already been something somebody wrestled with in the Word of God. And they leave clues behind as how we can navigate that and outlast and overcome our fears. I don't know why God had us born and living in this stage of life, because He could have had us, if He wanted to, He could have had us born in 1200 AD. He could have had us born in the 1500s. And God makes no mistakes, but instead of at the beginning of time, for some reason, God said, oh, you and you and you and you and you and you, I'm going to have you born in the last chapter, in the relay of faith. I always wondered why God had us born in a society like this, where it's just, it's like Mr. Toad's wild ride right now. I'm thinking, God, why us with all these restrictions and mandates? It's like God says, I chose you from the beginning of time to live over there. I asked you to run anchor. But God, there's so many fears here. So I'm going to give you all that you need right here in the Word of God. And I'm going to take three Hebrew young leaders, and I'm going to put them in Daniel 3. And they're going to leave clues behind, because you're living in almost the same situation. Thrust into a different culture, a different time. The rules are changing. You're losing rights. Your faith is going to be disparaged, and the state wants you to bow down. How do you do that? And you are no longer really people who you think you were, because I'm going to turn up the contrast and you realize that you're not citizens of this world, you're citizens of heaven. Don't forget who you are. You're foreigners. You're passing through. You're not citizens of this land. I chose you. I disguised citizens of heaven in human flesh, just like I did the Messiah. No different. But you're different on the inside. You're different. You're not of this earth. You're people of heaven, ambassadors for Christ. And you're here to influence this world. Yeah, but they're laws. Yeah, but they're not your laws. I'm going to give you your laws. This is my Bible, the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do, for I am a citizen of heaven. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen and amen and amen. And so God puts the story in the Word of God. And He talks about overcoming and outlasting fears. First of all, let me tell you that there's a ton of fears, and we won't be able to deal with all of them. But let me deal with two major basic fears that you're going to have to work with. And you'll need to distinguish between the two. And it'll categorize lots of other fears that we're wrestling with right now. But here it is, the two kinds of fears. Number one, the fear of God or the fear of man. That's going to be two roads diverged in a wood. It's going to be two pathways. The fear of God is a deep respect for God that compels you to obey. Whereas the fear of man is a deep worry that forces you to compromise. The fear of God or fear of man. You're going to have to make a choice sooner or later. A choice for God's promises or people's expectations. I'm going to have to make a choice. And God sometimes turns up the heat for us to make that choice. I'm going to have to make a choice. What does God think, or what do people think? You're going to have to choose which road you're going to travel. What God says or what people will say. How will others see me versus how will God see me? The fear of God or the fear of man? You say, Wayne, you said the fear of God. Does that mean we have to be scared of God? Afraid of God? Not quite. But it really does mean a deep, deep, deep respect that compels you to obedience. I think it's best illustrated in this story. My brother told me, who's an electrical contractor, and for a few years he did work up in Alaska and worked with hydroelectric power, where water will turn these massive turbines, putting out 25,000 volts. I mean, just massive amounts of electricity. And when you're working with electricity, you better do everything by the book. On this one island, one of his workers was asked to go there, and he was to work on this hydroelectric dam and pull a switch or breaker. Now, when you pull a breaker, you just don't grab it and turn it on or off. Because there's so much electrical current in the environment around this much production of electricity, they actually have poles that are non-conductive poles that are about 8 feet long that you use to throw a switch. You stay away from it, you have rubber gloves, rubber clothing, rubber boots, because you have to be very, very cautious. Well, this guy went over to do some work, and he was to throw a switch and to turn it on, but he wasn't heard from for a day, for two, and now the third. They took some boats over there and some rescue people and went over there to search for him. They couldn't find him, even where the breaker was. The breaker was there, but there was no stick. As they continued to investigate, they found his body 30 feet away. What had happened was, because he became a little too cavalier with electricity, he went to throw the breaker and electricity hit him like a bolt of lightning, threw him 30 feet away, instantly killed. He didn't have the right equipment. And I looked at that and I thought, wow. You see, if we respect electricity, it could light up 1,000 homes and give benefit and warmth, ability to cook and or air condition to all of these families. But if it is not feared, it'll kill you. And I thought, isn't that like the fear of God? The fear of the sovereignty of our great Creator has so much power, as it were, to redeem mankind and change the course of people's lives. But we can get pretty cavalier with it. And then the consequences, well, I'll tell you the consequences. The wages of sin is, yeah. But yet our world has become so cavalier about God. Oh, he's not going to do anything. And we wonder why we're in the shape that we're in. And God takes people like us and says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon said that. And we begin to understand the fear of God is something very important. Or the fear of man, which means the lack of fear of God, and it brings death. Each of us will have to make that choice from time to time. In fact, let me give you just sort of like a chart, if I could, of this. It's sort of like this. You're going to have concerns in life. So it starts with a concern about whatever it might be. That concern can turn into caution. You have to make a decision, one way or the other, up or down. Here is a huge decision time that you're either going to, especially when it comes to your faith, are you going to now trust God? Or are you going to say, I don't know, I doubt it, that God can help? And that is the moment of decision where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came to when King Nebuchadnezzar said, you're either going to bow down or you're going to be thrown into the fire. And they said, we're going to trust. Yeah, but what if God doesn't come through? I'm still going to have faith. But what if he doesn't? Our God is able to deliver us, sir. But even if he does not, wow. That phrase, I can't get that out of my head. It's ringing a bell. Even if he does not. You see, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying was, I don't obey God because of what he can do for me. I obey God because I am persuaded about who he is. He is a sovereign God. And in the end, he owns my life. And whatever he wants to do, he is sovereign to do it. But in the end, I know that I will rule and reign with the Lord. and I'm absolutely fine.
You've just heard part one of a message on overcoming fear as we look at the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, here's a little gem from tomorrow's program.
King Nebuchadnezzar, the scripture says, leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. When you're going through the fire, don't look at what you're walking through. Look at who you're walking with. Don't look at what you're walking through. Put your eyes on who you're walking with.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.